grace and mercy. I appreciate that preaching, Brother Bill. Amen. 20 years ago, a preacher that was a missionary, and we supported him on the field for many years, married with 6 children, come off the mission field, and take you to the family now, drop this family off in another city, and the pastor called and wanted to know if maybe we could find her a place to stay with her 6 children somewhere in Medan. I said, yes, sir, we sure can help you with that. So they moved to Medan, and she joined our church, and some of the kids weren't old enough they had never reached the age of accountability. But anyway, he kept getting worse and worse. They stayed in a church faithful. Brother Bill, you would know if I was to call the name. The wife and the children stayed in our church, and they've been there now for 20 years. Some of them married now, and out of church and out of the city and in other places and in church. But she took out, she knew that God was going to kill her husband if he did not repent and get right with God. I'm talking about a young man that when he died was 42 years old. Him and his son, oldest son, were deer hunting. One Saturday morning, they both killed 2 deer. They pulled one of them out of the woods and loaded in his truck. They turned around, and while the young man was getting the deer in position where they could put the other one in the back of the truck, he heard his daddy go, and when he looked back, he said probably 25 or 30 feet right before his dad went in the woods, his dad was laying there. He went and picked him up, picked his head up, and said his daddy said, died right there on the spot. He filled a premature grave. She took out, probably about 6 or 8 months, Brother Bill, before that he died, she said, God said, you better take out some life insurance on him because he's going to die if he don't get right with God. And she did. And it's a good thing she did because she was not able to pay for the funeral service herself. Good. Good, wonderful, 1611 King James Bible preaching from the Word of God. A warning to every one of us because the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And we are, none of us are exempt from falling if we get our eyes off of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and go against this Bible knowing that it's wrong. We're headed for trouble. Thank you, Brother Bill. That's a blessing. Well, let me preach just a little while. How many got your Bibles? Wave those Bibles if you will. I want you to turn again tonight over to the book of Psalms, chapter number 103. I preached from Psalms last night, and then I'm going to preach from Psalms, the Lord willing, again tonight. Brother Bill, probably it's been about a year ago now since I did this, but it took me over a year. And I just hit the highlights. I started verse by verse in Psalms, and Psalms has got 150 chapters in it. And I started verse by verse in the Sunday school class. I've been teaching Sunday school there at our church probably for 42 years. And I've been pastoring that church for 43 years plus, but all but about a year and a half, I've taught Sunday school every Sunday morning. I've preached on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and then back on Sunday night and then on Wednesday night when I wasn't in revival meetings. And I love the book of Psalms. One preacher said several years ago, the book of Proverbs has got 31 chapters in it, and the most of our months, my friend, have 31 days in it. He said, if you will read one chapter in the book of Proverbs a day, he said, you will have the wisdom that Solomon talked about. And then he said, if you will read one chapter in the book of Psalms every day, he said, you'll have a song. And he said, when you got the Holy Spirit of God, and when you have the scriptures, and my friend, and you have the wisdom of God and the songs of God, he said, it'll keep you going. Amen. Praise God. And this Bible, my friend, will keep us from sin. Amen. But sin will keep us from the Bible. So we better stay with that book and be obedient to the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, my friend, I'm going to tell you, we need just to be obedient to what the Lord has to say. Amen. Saul found that out the hard way, didn't he, friend? Okay, if you're able to stand if you will, turn to Psalm chapter number 103, if you will, please, and verse number 1. This chapter has got 22 verses in it, and the word and the number 22 means light. And brother, we can get some light on what the Bible says about sin, and what the Bible says about repenting, and what the Bible says about, my friend, our sins being gone. Now look what he said. This is a song of praise. And so I want to title this message tonight, Praise Ye the Lord. I want to give you three things tonight we find in this chapter that we can praise God for. The Bible said in verse number 1, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Isn't that good? I like the good things of God, don't you? Amen. Well, you can't have the good things of God if you got the bad things. You got to get rid of the bad things in your life before you can have the good things. And that's talking about the sin that the preacher just got through preaching about. And the Bible says, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that is oppressed, that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Bible said, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. The Bible said this, and the Bible said, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is far above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like the Bible says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And the Bible said, for he knows our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Now let's pray. My Father, thank you for the great preaching by Brother Bill tonight. What a blessing, what a good message on warning us concerning sin. Oh God, help us not to fall in the clinches and of the devil, Father, but help us to stay true to you and love you and put you first in our heart and put you first in our lives tonight. Oh God, please help us, Lord, to stay on the right track and to stay in the right way. Now, Lord, would you bless this church and the pastor and each member and each visitor tonight? Would you touch me just for a little while as I preach the word of God? And we'll love you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on Praise Ye the Lord. We have so much to praise the Lord for. There's no way that we could ever name them all. There's no way, my friend, that we could even count that far. Brother Lester Roloff used to say, there's a song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. But Brother Lester Roloff said, we ought to sing that song, count your many blessings, and name them ton by ton. We'll have to look back over our lives and know that God has blessed us, my friend, not with just one blessing, but many, many, many millions of blessings every day of our life. But here's about three or four things that we can praise God for. Number one is for forgiveness. Isn't that a blessing? I'm so glad I have been forgiven. And the word forgiven means an act of pardon. I'm glad Jesus signed my pardon, amen, on the cross of Calvary, and he set me free. The Bible said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. In the book of John chapter 8 in verse 32, and then also in verse number 36. Aren't you glad that you've been set free from sin? Aren't you glad? Praise God, he has removed that sin from you. And so you find, my friend, the word forgiven there means an act of pardon. I'm so glad that God will pardon us if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In 1 John chapter 1 and in verse number 9, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so you find, my friend, over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 57 and verse number 7, and chapter number 55 and verse number 7. Notice what the word of God has to say. Oh, I like this, don't you? The Bible said in verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And the Bible says, call ye upon him while he is near. And the Bible said, let the wicked forsake his way. That's what Brother Bill was talking about. He's talking about people that did wicked things there in the Old Testament. And not only did they do wicked things in the Old Testament, but they did wicked things in the New Testament. And the Bible said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Boy, I'm going to tell you, the Bible even says the thoughts of sin is a sinful, my friend. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I am so glad, praise God, that I trusted Jesus. I'm glad he forgave me of my sins. He didn't just forgive me of one sin. He forgave me of all sin. And I'll tell you something, friend. When you got saved by the grace of God, he forgave you of all of your sin. Isn't that good to know that? Now, what does he do with our sins? Well, the Bible says over in John, chapter number 1 and verse number 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Behold, the Lamb of God. He said, look at verse 129. The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that word world there means humanity and mankind. You see, the Bible said in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Aren't you glad for that? Oh, my friend, this then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, my friend, that God is a God that will, and God has forgiven us of our sins. And if you got sin in your life tonight, I'm glad God will forgive you. Over in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 5, the Bible said, this then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Aren't you glad you've been brought out of darkness and placed into marvelous light? And the Bible said in verse number 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The Bible says, isn't that good? And the Bible says we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Bible says, in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, God. God's Son cleanses us from all sin. And the Bible says over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 1 and verse number 5, one of my favorite verses of scripture, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him, watch this now, unto him that loved us, hallelujah, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I've been washed in the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And then he said, amen. I sure am glad, praise God, that he washed my sins away. I'm glad he's still in the soul-saving business. I'm glad he still loves old sinners. Paul said there's a faithful sin worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, in 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15. And somebody said, Brother Bill, if God will save the chiefest of sinners, I'm glad he'll save the little old Indians that'll come to him. Isn't that a blessing? Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. I'm so glad, praise God, he loved an old sinner like me. He loved an old sinner like you, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And the Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that good? I like that. Romans 6 and verse number 23. David said in Psalm 51 and verse number 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Oh, Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Isn't that a blessing? Hallelujah. I'm so glad, praise God, he'll take that old dirty, rotten sinner. Oh, my friend, nothing but garbage. That's all we were, just old garbage, because the Bible said, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. What do you do with filthy rags? You put them in the trash can, and they go to the city dump. Brother Lester Rollo said, God is in the garbage business. Hey, when he reaches down and picks up an old sinner, he gets them out of the garbage, hallelujah, and cleans them up. Yes, with all the mark and the mark and all of that stuff, my friend, and the clay, praise God, and wipe that slate clean, and makes that old sinner just like he never had sin. Amen. Aren't you glad there's power in the blood of the Lamb of the God? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners blood will eat that blood, lose all their guilty stains. Hey, I may never forget my sins. You may never forget your sins. Your neighbor may never forget your sins. I know the devil won't never forget your sins, but I'm glad God has. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. They've been taken care of on the cross of Calvary in the person of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Woo! Amen. Hey, right. Hallelujah. You'll also find in the book of Isaiah 42 and verse number 25, God is blotting out our sins. He has erased our sins. Isn't that a blessing from God? You find, my friend, Matthew 26:28, you find the remission of sins is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find in Jeremiah 31:3-4, the Bible said that God remembers them no more. Isn't that good? And then you'll find, my friend, I done read the scriptures in 1 John 1:5-7, Revelation 1 and verse number 5, amen, that God washes our sins away. He releases those sins from us. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Now I'm going to tell you, the devil will take our old past life and try to haunt us with that, but I'm going to tell you, I'm glad God has forgotten about our past. Amen. Praise God. We need to keep on loving God and serving God and not looking back, but looking yonder. Thank God. Amen. Woo! Ain't God good to us? So I can rejoice because I have been forgiven. Jesus said in Luke 23 and verse number 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that good? And then the Bible said in the book of Ephesians 4 and verse number 32, he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. This is verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. And then he said in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Do you know why every one of us have been saved? We're saved for Christ's sake. Amen. And Dr. Oliver Green said, we ought to pray, if you've got a loved one that's lost, undone without God, you ought to pray that God would save that loved one for Christ's sake. Not just for your sake, but for Christ's sake. I've been saved for Christ's sake. He's the one that died for me. He's the one that was buried for me. Yeah. He's the one that shed his blood for me. He's the one that was buried the third day, resurrected again for our justification. Woo! That's enough to make a backslid Baptist shout. That's enough to make a Baptist shout if you ain't backslid. Say amen. Yeah. If you're backslid Baptist, you got to get right with God before you can shout. Woo! Amen. So number one, I can rejoice. Oh, because I've been forgiven. Oh, I've been forgiven. That woman was taken in the act of adultery. While they brought her before the Lord Jesus Christ said, we got this woman in the very act of adultery. And what does the law say? Stone them like you said. Huh? Are you listening? Where was the man? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Amen. So they ought to brought the man. Could have been one of those men that brought her to Jesus, trying to find fault with Jesus. But Jesus stood there and wrote on the ground. Amen. I preached a message one time in our church probably 40 years ago. I got me a bucket of rocks and shed them on that pulpit. I mean, I'm not on a pulpit, but on a communion table. I was preaching from this. I said, now, if there's anybody in this building, I mean, you are so hateful, and you hate your neighbor, and you don't like this person, don't like that person. I said, why don't you come up here and cast the first stone at somebody? And when you do, you better make sure you're right with God. Say amen. I didn't see no stones flying. Boy, aren't you glad for that grace, Brother Bill? Woo! Hallelujah. Number one, I'm so glad I can rejoice because my sins have been forgiven. I'm glad I can rejoice because I've been redeemed from, my friend, destruction. Amen. He said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Do you know what that word destruction means? It means a state of ruin. Sin will ruin your life. I can tell you, I thought about, while you was preaching, my brother, I thought about preachers, I thought about at least four or five preachers, independent Baptist preachers, that one time preached to some of them, to large congregations. But my friend, they messed their life up. I know at least one, two, three independent Baptist preachers that messed their life up. They were pastoring good independent Baptist churches, but they got messed up with a woman, and instead of repenting of it and ask God to save them, forgive them of it, and God and my friend, they took a gun and put it to their head and pulled the trigger and committed suicide. Oh, my friend, suicide is not the way out of our problems. I'm glad Jesus Christ is the way out of our sins. Say amen. And you still have problems when you get saved, but you got the problem solver in the inside, who is the Holy Ghost of God. Say amen. Oh, we better stay close with God. We better take heed to the warning unto the preacher that's been preached tonight. Oh, because, my friend, without him, we're nothing. Oh, yes, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Look what the Bible says. I was on the road to destruction. You were on the road to destruction. But Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He purchased our soul on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Amen. He's a purchaser, a relative from slavery. I was on the slaving block of sin. You were on the slaving block of sin. Somebody had to rescue you. Somebody had to claim you. And Jesus Christ did that on the cross. By the way, you can't be saved any other way except through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way of salvation is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We were redeemed from the slavery of sin by the blood of Jesus. I like this now. Amen. Turn over, if you will, please, in the book of Acts, chapter number 20 and verse number 28. Acts right after the book of John. And the Bible said this. Now, Paul's been in Ephesus for 3 years now. And he said, I'm going away. Somebody won't never see me no more. But he said this in verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Boy, that a blessing from God. Purchased with his own blood. Here's two more of my favorite verses of scripture. I just like them all, don't you? Hey, First Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, brother Donald, Donnie, this verse of scripture tells me how I'm not saved and how you're not saved. Verse number 19 tells us how that we are saved. Woo! Isn't that a blessing? Wouldn't it be terrible if the only thing the scripture did was tell us about our sin and didn't tell us how to get rid of it? Hey, praise God. Hey, look what the Bible said. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That could be none other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You find something else about this blood redemption in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. You find another two verses in it, my friend, in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 24, 25. So aren't you glad, praise God, we can shout because we've been forgiven?
Yeah.
Amen.
I said, do you mean to tell me, some folk that witnessed me, that God would save an old sinner like me? With tears running down their face, they said, he certainly will. Woo! And when I got saved, I asked my wife, I said, I want you to forgive me. I've said some things, I've done some things I shouldn't do. Will you forgive me? Why, sure, I'll forgive you. I said to my mom and daddy, will you forgive me? I've said some things, and I've done some things I shouldn't have done. And mom and dad said, what have you done? I said, I ain't heard of nothing you've done. I said, well, I'm not, I didn't know just telling you, but will you forgive me? I said, Lord, yeah, we'll forgive you. I went to my mom and dad, and I said, would y'all forgive me? I just have not been the son-in-law that I should have been, and they loved me just like I was their own son. And oh, my friend, they said, well, sure, we forgive you, Paul. Then I even looked at my boss man. I said, Henry, I've said some things about you. You ever said anything about your boss man that you didn't want to know what it was? You probably have. Oh, y'all don't do that up in Virginia. Okay, I forgot I'm from North Carolina. I said, Henry, I've said some things about you. I just want to tell you, with tears running down my face, I want to tell you I'm sorry. You've been a good boss man. I had a good job, praise God. My job was a good pension, good benefits. My wife was working at the Wachovia Bank Trust Company in Winston-Salem, and
Now, when our first son was born, and my mother-in-law kept that little boy, and for about 3 or 4 months, I told my wife, I said, they're good to it. And I said, they love us, and they love this little boy we got. But I said, I wish you'd just turn your time in, just stay at the house. I said, God is supplying our need. I said, praise God. I said, I'm making good money. I've got good benefits. I work from 8 to, in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. I said, off on Saturday, Sundays most time. And I said, won't you just turn your time in and just stay with that little boy? She said, I just believe I will. Woo! It goes to this, I ain't turning my time in. You spend your money, I spend my money. That's crazy. There ain't no way to be
mad. Amen.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. Go ahead. My oldest son now will be 48 years old in the month of November. And the two boys are now, my youngest is 44 years old, and he's married, got 2 kids, got a good job. First son got a good job, got 2 kids, and but she still ain't going back to work. You know why? She got this young man to look after now. Good to hear you say amen. Praise God, I like it. I don't bother about you, but I like it like that, don't you? Woo! Amen, I do. I do, but I'm glad. You know, if my parents had not forgiven me, if my wife had not forgiven me, if my bossman had not forgiven me, I want to tell you, I know somebody that did, and that somebody is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that loved those sinners and suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary and was buried, and the third day was resurrected again for our justification. He forgave me of all my sins.
Amen. Woo, amen, Brother Donald. You'd like to see that cane you got thrown up in the air in a minute. Just watch my head. Amen. Hallelujah. There's another reason why I can shout and praise God. It's because he sure does satisfy. In verse number 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Look at Psalm 107 in verse number 9 quickly. The Bible said, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry with the hungry soul with goodness.
Amen.
Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Because they rebelled against the words of God. There you go. That's it. That's what we just heard it a few minutes ago. And condemned the counsel of the Most High. I'm so glad that he fully satisfies. You know what that word satisfied means? It means to have enough. It means the feeling and even over feeling, amen, of appetites and desires and plenty. Have you ever used this phrase before? I've had enough. Every Sunday, for years and years, my wife, on Sunday, we don't go out to eat on Sunday.
I mean, we now.
Travel all the time, we eat out so much in the week. One reason we don't is because, praise God, who wants to stand in line when you're about to starve an hour and a half before you get the food? So she'll get our dinner prepared, some on Saturday night and the rest on Sunday morning before we go to Sunday school. You've got to get out of the bed to learn. Do something like that. Amen. But this past Sunday, every other week, our kids come and eat with us. They still love mama's cooking. So do I. But Sunday she fixed a good dinner. I round steak, mashed potatoes, green peas. Y'all getting hungry, about good boobs are still open. Homemade biscuits, jam, jellies, iced tea. And after I ate 4 of those good biscuits, about this big round when you were buying them. Did I say this year, last night or not? You take a bite of them pieces, you look like it. You want that for? Get you another bite. after eating that steak and those cream potatoes and
and those green peas,
yeah,
and those fishes. She said, there's four of them left. Said, do you want some more of them? She already ate three of them. You know, shouldn't eat that many biscuits one time, fellas. It gives me it makes my belt, my belly over my belt. That's called Dunlap disease. My belly done that over my belt. I said, no, honey, it's so good, but I have had enough. What does that mean? You fill me up. Woo! You fill me up. I'm running over. Hallelujah. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be filled. Be not drunk with wine, burnt in his chest, but be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse number 18. Be filled with the Spirit. Let it run over and get on somebody else. Say amen. The old somebody said, I'm drinking from a saucer because my cup has run over. My dad loved coffee. I drank it some, not every day, but I drank about a half a cup when I do drink. My daddy used to pour it out in a saucer. One reason he would pour it out in a saucer because he would let it cool off. It cooled off easier in a saucer than it would in the cup. You know what I'm talking about, brother? And he would pick that saucer up and go, and then he'd get that saucer down in there and then pour it out again. Pour it out the cup. How long has it been since your cup went over? How has it been, praise God, since you just got up the altar? Yeah. You didn't ask God for nothing. You just went up there and thanked him for what he's already done. Just thanked him. Lord, you've been so good. I don't want nothing. Lord, I'm not asking for anything. Yeah. I just want to thank you for what you've already done. I just want to thank you for what you're doing. I just want to thank you for what you promised he's going to do. Woo! Hallelujah! Y'all want to stay to midnight? I feel like I could. I wasn't after about 10 more minutes, though. Are you listening to me? Satisfaction means that which completely fulfills. And I want to tell you, brother, our young people are trying to find complete happiness and completion in alcohol. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby, he's not wise. Now, I'm going to tell you, this Bible teaches it's wrong to make beer, wine, and liquor. This Bible teaches it's wrong to sell beer, wine, and liquor. And this Bible teaches me it's wrong to drink beer, wine, and liquor. It's got a curse of God on it. You better read Proverbs chapter number 23. You better read Proverbs chapter number 20. And Hosea better read all the scriptures about that strong drink. Then they're trying dope and they're trying everything, trying to get complete satisfaction. I know there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it sure does run out. That's what Moses said. And the Bible said in the book of Colossians chapter 1:29 that we are complete in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I'm going to read those three verses of scripture and I'm just about through. I have enjoyed preaching last night and tonight. Amen. Talking about a small group of people, brother. I have had better liberty to preach tonight. I think it's something like 20 here and maybe 16 here tonight. I have had better liberty. I believe Brother Vaughn could say the same thing. I've had better liberty preaching here to 20 people on Monday night, 16 or 17 maybe tonight, than I have some time preaching to 200 or 300 people.
You're right. Amen.
Amen. It's not the crowd that gets the word, that gets the job done. It's the working of the Holy Spirit of God. I have had complete liberty preaching last night and tonight. Didn't have one bit of problem preaching. And thank God for the privilege that I've had to preach last night and the privilege I've had to preach right now. Amen. And I'm still having it. Woo! Hey, God's good. Now here's two verses Christ's going to give. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers.
Now, I challenge you. I challenge every one of you. I'm not very smart, but I'm saved. And I got a Bible. I'd like for you to just take your Bible, your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, and your any other dictionary that you want to find, and find me something that you can add to completeness. You can't add anything to completeness. Amen. You can't add, you can look and search all you want to. You won't never find anything to add to the word complete, because we're complete in Jesus.
Amen.
And if you're saved, you got Jesus. Make no use of looking for nobody else. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now let me give you this here. He satisfies us with goodness in Psalm 65:4. He satisfies us with provision in Psalm 37:19, even in the days of famine. He satisfies us with mercy in Psalm 90 and verse 14, Psalm 103, verse 8, verse 11, verse 17. He satisfies us with his presence in Psalm 17 and verse number 15. And the Bible says, in his presence are pleasures evermore.
Amen.
In Psalm 16 and verse number 11. And then in 1 Corinthians 2:9, and look what the Bible has to say. You feel pretty good now, don't you? You feel good since you've been to church tonight, don't you?
Amen.
You say, well, I ain't feeling too good. Well, inside your bosom, you're feeling all right, aren't you?
Amen.
These old bodies try to draw you down, they will sometimes. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Hey.
Hallelujah. Young boys, am I looking at two young boys here tonight? How old are you, buddy?
12.
12 years old. That's how old Jesus was in Luke chapter number 2 when he was in the temple. The scribes and the Pharisees asking questions and answering questions. 12 years old. How old are you, buddy?
10.
You're 10?
Mm-hmm.
You know what 10 means? It means a testimony. Amen. I hope you're saved, but if you're not saved, well, you can get saved and you'll have a testimony. Hope you're saved, young man. If you're not saved, this is a good night. Tonight you get born again, mother.
Amen.
And then you can say, oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, I can't explain it. And I can't tell you why, but oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Woo!
Amen.
You see, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't that good?
Amen.
All because of Calvary.
Yes.
All because of Calvary. Can you play that song for me? Thanks to Calvin. In D, did you get that in D?
I don't know if I can play it in D.
Where you play it?
Not really sure.
Okay. Come on up here. Let's see if I can sing one of you play it in. I want to praise. I want to praise God. Calvin. Thanks to Calvin. I don't go there. See if I can remember that song tonight.
You can
might be too, it might be too low. If it is, we'll try to get lower. If it ain't, we'll try to get higher. What chord you got there, Lisa?
C.
C. Let's try this. Give me a little intro.
Before, and when
my face. I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't go there anymore. And then I went back to that house where I used to live. My little boy, he ran and hid behind the door. I said, son, have no fear. Your God is saved now. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live there anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the dad I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. Yes, while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, oh, thanks to Calvary, I don't go there anymore. Because he touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened, and now I know. Thank God he touched me and made me whole. I'm glad I'm saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, ma'am. Ain't God good? Come on, preacher, whoever's going to dismiss us, Lord. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you, Lord. For the privilege to be here with Brother Bill, preaching with him last night and tonight. Brother Donnie, God bless him, his wife, and the church folk. I pray to God for Brother James and his wife, Lord, and each individual that's here tonight. Don't know all of them's name, but it's been a real joy to be with them. Pray God you'd bless this church now. Give them souls for the labor. We love you and thank you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen, Brother James.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, my brother.